Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace in our lives and ask that as we continue to worship you, that you would speak to our hearts and minds. Lord, that you would cause us to hear that still small voice, your Holy Spirit within us. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior, in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. So welcome to the reading of Paul's last will and testament, in a sense. As the second letter to Timothy became what we know as Paul's last letter to his spiritual son. And as Paul composed this letter, he was giving Timothy some sound instruction on how he could best live his life for God. Not from a teaching standpoint, but as someone who had lived life, one who had seen both sides of life, a life against God and a life for God. So his wisdom is sound and well thought out. And we learned last week as we began the series on Paul's last will and testament, we learned last week that we should live now, live life now with a future in mind so that we can have a clear conscience when we face our Maker. And then we learned that we should continually kindle up the gift of the Holy Spirit in us, who resides in us, who gives us the power to live life. And by all means, we should guard the treasure of God's salvation in Jesus Christ, because as people, we tend to forget what God has done, or even worse, some will try to change the truth of what Jesus has done. Now, I can remember the first time I saw this ad. I was probably an older teen, and really, like all people, I wanted to be the hero of my own story. So, in this ad, there are many frames, but the first frame, there is nothing. So on the first frame, there's a big, on the beach, a big guy runs by the towel that's got two people on it, kicking sand in their face. Hey, quit kicking sand in our faces. That man is the worst nuisance on the beach. The second frame, the big guy grabs the kid on the blanket. Listen here. I'll smash your face, only you're so skinny you might dry up and blow away. The third frame, the kid and his date stand up and he says, the big bully, I'll get even with him someday. And she says, oh, don't let it bother you, little boy. Later at home, the kid is angry saying, darn it, I'm sick and tired of being a scarecrow, as he's kicking a piece of furniture. He's got a book in his hand and says, Charles Atlas says he can give me a real body. All right, I'll gamble a stamp and get his free book. The next frame. Sometime later, that kid is muscle bound. Boy, it didn't take long for Atlas to do his job. What muscles. That bully won't shove me around again. Next frame. He's again at the beach, with the girl looking on as he confronts the bully. What? You're here again? Here's something I owe you, and then hits him. Not that I condone hitting him, but that's what it is. Next frame, the girl seeing him so strong now. Oh, Mac, you're a real man now. Two others are looking on. Gosh, what a build. He's already famous for it. And then, of course, there's the picture of Charles Atlas looking really buff. You see, at points in our lives, we all want to be the hero of our own story, to stand up against injustice, to be strong, to love others unconditionally, loving as God has loved us. And, of course, as Christians, being strong isn't about the size of our muscles, although we do need to take care of ourselves. It's more about being spiritually strong, to have the love of God and the grace of God flowing through ourselves out into others. And that is what Paul starts with to Timothy in this section of his letter. He starts, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The strength Paul is referring to is the strength of grace, the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. Not just found in Jesus, but it also the grace we are given by the Holy Spirit who resides in each one of us. To love the unlovable. To see all people as created by God. People who have sacred worth no matter their station in life. Paul wants Timothy and all Christians to be spiritually strong. To be spiritually strong not in their own might, but to be strong with Christ, to be strong with God. Sounds good, doesn't it? It should be a no-brainer and not difficult at all to know that our strength does come from God. Yet there are so many Christians whose faith is present, but to some degree weak, uncertain, maybe even wishy-washy. They don't know how to stand up to those who kick sand in the face of their Christianity. Like the kid on the beach, we need someone to help us to build spiritual muscle so that we can become spiritually strong. Strong in our faith in God. Strong in our conviction on how God wants us to live. Strong in our generosity to God and to others. Strong in our witness to other people, about the love of God for all people, about how people can be in relationship with God for all eternity. A few days ago, I was in the car and turned on the radio to a sports talk station, and they were talking about how this professional athlete had tweeted out something in defense of historical Christianity. As I listened to the two hosts, the one host professed to being an atheist, and an atheist is someone who simply doesn't believe in any kind of God or any higher power. The other host had some spiritual underpinnings, which I wasn't certain what they were, but I could sense that they were in his life. And as guys called in to the talk show to give their perspective on this tweet, this issue, some were Christians who were trying to give a meaningful witness specifically to the non-believing host of the show. They were strong in their faith, attempting to share God's love and grace through their words. But this host, he would have nothing to do with it. No matter what was said, he felt that Christians were simply hypocrites and that Christianity had no meaning for him. His life motto, based on what he said, was, "Let people be happy doing whatever they want as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else." You see, Paul wants Timothy to be strong in the faith as he must deal with people who have this kind of viewpoint. And really for others too who believe in gods, but not the one true God. And Paul tells Timothy that his real spiritual strength comes from being with God and not apart from God. And this is what God wants us to be, spiritually strong. And we come spiritually strong only with God. You can't become spiritually strong apart from God. Yet Paul wants more for Timothy than just to be strong with God. In 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "In all things you have heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Did you catch that task that Paul is giving to Timothy to accomplish? To entrust to others? To entrust to reliable people? A part of the purpose of the church body is not just to pass on the truth of God's word, like callers to the radio program were attempting to pass on God's word to this host. No, it's to entrust the word to reliable people who will then pass it on and entrust it to another generation. Are you able to receive God's word? Why, certainly. Certainly. Are you reliable people to accurately handle the word? Sure. Sure. This is why it's so important as a church to provide studies on God's word, and for each of us to make time to participate in them, from the very youngest to those who have been around for many, many years. If you never lift weights or work out, how can your body become more fit or stronger, thereby able to withstand, helping you to withstand the rigors of life? If you never open up God's word, how can you become spiritually fit or stronger, thereby able to effectively defend the gospel or even to share the gospel to those who need to hear it most? You see, the purpose for Paul was more than to pass on the truth of God's word, but it was also to raise up those who could accurately handle the word, who were reliable and would pass on the word to others from the onslaught of those who misuse God's word, who twist God's word, who even try to change God's word. If you remember your history in the 1620s to the 1640s, many Puritans came to the colonies in America to escape the Catholic Church and the Church of England, as they had become really corrupted. These Puritans desired to remain strong with God and to be with God. They sought to create a spiritual place which would honor God and was unfettered by the laws of the King of England and the corruption which had infiltrated the church. And almost 150 years later, when the United States of America was founded on July 4th, 1776, it was founded based on biblical principles. Yet, like all societies formed on biblical principles in the past, the culture or society will grow, and it will tend to shift away from what the founders had initially intended. Those who rise into power will seek to maintain their power for as long as they can, often seeking to change the laws of the land to meet their needs instead of keeping them based on the original principles. Since the time of Abraham, following God has always been counter-cultural. As we went through the story last year, we saw the Israelites, God's people, God's chosen people, continually struggling with maintaining their relationship with God in the midst of their living life with these other nations, these other cultures around them. Often they succumbed to becoming like these other nations or cultures from time to time. And even today we are inundated with schemes to become richer, to accumulate more popularity or more material wealth, and by all means to throw off the decrepit spiritual practices of Christianity for the new age practices of the new and improved gods. So Paul, who had suffered many hardships to proclaim God's good news of Jesus, who then endured hardship in setting up new churches around Middle Asia, used what made Rome strong as an analogy of being strong, remaining strong with God. Paul said to suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled with civilian affairs, but rather tries to please the commanding officer. And who would the commanding officer be that Paul was referring to? God. The Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. A good soldier focuses on God and what God would have them do, not what the world would have them do. Friends, being a Christian is not easy. In being a follower of Jesus Christ, Paul lets us know that there will be hardships, we'll suffer hardships. We will be misunderstood. We will need to live in line with God's rule and not follow the shifting culture or the cultural shifts that society takes. However, Paul goes on to write this to Timothy that is important for all of us to remember, to keep this in the front of our minds. Even when he was in prison, he believed and stood on this one thing. 2 Timothy 9 and 10. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Nobody can never imprison God's word, which is able to set anyone free from the chains that bind them in this world. Do you understand the implication of that? People without hope of eternity, people without love, acceptance, people who are lonely, they feel unworthy, who struggle with anger, are caught in a life of sin. All these people and more can find acceptance in God through Jesus Christ as found in the Word of God. Now and forevermore. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Our hope is built on the fact that Jesus willingly shed his blood on a cross, that our sins would be forgiven, that we could be in right relationship with God. Our hope is built on Jesus' righteousness, because we can never be right enough on our own accord. You see, I anchor myself on the one who saves, who strengthens me when I'm overwhelmed. This rock is the rock that I stand on. I'm made strong when I'm with God, not apart from God, not when I try to stand on my own. We endure because we stand with Christ. We endure because God empowers us from within by the Holy Spirit. We endure because we choose to be good soldiers, following our commander. Will you stand on God's word with me? Will you stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? Will you stand regardless of what others are doing or saying in the world? Will you stand for and will you stand with God? Will you stand? Yes or no? Will you stand?
Yes.
Will you stand?
Yes.
Then stand strong. Be in God's word. Be in fellowship with one another. Be encouraged by being together. It doesn't happen when we stand apart from God. My hope is built on Jesus Christ's righteousness. Nothing I can do, nothing I can say will make me strong like Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you that you love us and that you help us through all of life's difficulties and that your word goes forth with power and with love, with grace, with forgiveness. And that when we stand with you, we are made strong. And that our hope is that through you, through your Holy Spirit, through the Word, that you will make us strong to be that which you've created us to be. For your glory and for your name's sake, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.